Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to focus our attention, as was mentioned earlier, on the reading from Galatians chapter 2. My dear brothers and sisters, a couple of weeks ago, we considered the question, who is Jesus? This week, we're going to build on that thought and that thinking process as we consider, who are you? Now, at first blush, you might think that to be an easy question to answer. We all know who we are, don't we? Well, you can say, I'm a father, mother, brother, sister, student, teacher, employer, employee, uncle, aunt, grandparent, doctor, nurse, lawyer, plumber, mechanic, gardener, salesperson, clerk, banker. Or you might say, I'm a loner, an introvert. Or I'm an extrovert, a party animal, an athlete, a spectator, a coach. But those answers don't really tell us who you are. For the most part, they tell us what you do. Who you are, though, goes deeper. And that's what we hope to explore today. To consider the person God made you to be. To be that person consistently and with commitment. To be that person as a model and a mentor. And to know that the person you are is one who is dependent and delivered by God. Now, while our gospel lesson was teaching us how to confront someone who has sinned against us, our second lesson, the one from Galatians, which we're focusing on, well, that shows us a confrontation that occurred between Peter, here called Cephas, and the Apostle Paul during the early history of the Christian church. Everyone knew Peter as leader of the disciples and possibly to go to the go-to person in the early Christian church. Paul's reputation was also known, but not as much as a disciple or an apostle, but as the persecutor of the church. The validity of Paul's position as an apostle was regularly challenged and questioned. For him to reprove and correct Peter's actions, and for Peter to accept such authority from Paul, an admonition from him, well, that was solid evidence for the people of Paul's time that his authority as an apostle was from God. This served not only as a lesson for the people who witnessed it, but it serves as a lesson for us as well. The lesson for us is a lesson on being consistent and living with commitment to the truth. Peter had failed in both cases. He knew what he believed about Jesus Christ and the way of salvation. He knew that his freedom was in Christ and that freedom was for all people, but his actions betrayed him. He didn't act consistently regarding his beliefs, for he was more concerned with the thoughts and opinions of what the other Jews would think about the message of the Holy Spirit, which had prepared him to share. The Jewish belief system excluded Gentiles from having any relationship to God or to salvation. This was so ingrained in their thinking that even associating with the Gentiles, or especially socializing with them, was forbidden. Peter knew that the grace of God was for all, but he had a lack of conviction to that promise. It became public when his peers from Jerusalem arrived. Peter found himself in a very difficult situation. He found himself in a situation you might call when worlds collide. Worlds collide when people find themselves being hypocrites in one way or another in their different spheres of influence. Consider the student. Likes to brag about all the stuff he gets away with at home and how he or she basically tells his parents what to do and what he wants. And he always gets his way. And his classmates are in awe, for they would never be able to get away with any of that at their place. But then come those rare times when the home world and the school worlds will meet and the classmates get to see that his parents call the shots, and Junior follows almost like a lonely puppy. What's one to do? How do you save face since you've just been caught in your inconsistency? Worlds had collided, That was Peter's dilemma. The Jews from Jerusalem showed up probably unexpectedly, and there how they saw he was socializing with the Gentiles. He quickly pulled away, and everyone saw it. You know, Peter was never known for subtlety, right? Even Barnabas followed Peter's lead. The Gentiles were offended. Peter had not been consistent with whom he claimed to be, and because of that, his message then was undermined. Who would Peter have said he was at that time? Who are we when our worlds collide? Ever been there before? Yeah, we always pray before meals, right? Except maybe when we're in a restaurant or in public or someone else might be listening. Then maybe we just do it silently. Willing to make exceptions to your worship or devotional life when others are visiting or maybe have differing opinions than yours? When questioned about your faith or what the Bible clearly teaches, do you find yourself backing down? Afraid of sounding judgmental? When others question that a loving God wouldn't do this or that, or all churches are the same, it doesn't matter where you go, it's all the same, do you become a little bit reticent to speak, to share the truth and the Word of God? Can you sympathize with Peter a little bit because you've also been there when your worlds collided? Well, fortunately, Paul was there for Peter to correct him and be his model and his mentor. Notice how Paul could not let Peter's hypocrisy continue. Souls were on the line. Souls Jesus had lived and died for. And even though we know that we are to correct one another privately, as we learn in the gospel today, Paul did it publicly, to show Peter the full impact of his actions. He was, in a way, preaching at this time to all the folks that were there. Peter's failure was a public failure. People noticed. People were being led astray and needed to be led back again. Paul said to Peter, "You are a Jew and live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified." You see, in some ways, Peter was trying to get the best of both worlds while not being totally committed to either. Paul, as a Jew, knew what Peter was going through and so corrected him. He did it boldly and confidently in the name of Jesus. He was as much an apostle as any of the others, for he was able to mentor Peter now, which was also meant keeping Peter on course. Really important when we help and correct and mentor others. In his book, How to Develop Your Personal Mission Statement, author Stephen Covey wrote, "Before taking off, a pilot has a very clear destination in mind, which hopefully coincides with yours, and a flight plan to get you there. The plane takes off at the appointed hour, toward that predetermined destination. But in fact, the plane is off course at least 90% of the time. Weather conditions, turbulence, other factors cause it to get off track. However, feedback is given to the pilot all the time, constantly, who then makes course corrections and keeps coming back to the exact flight plan, bringing the plane back on course. And often, the plane even arrives at the destination on time." When I first read this, I thought to myself, no way. But then I considered driving my own car and how often, because of bumps or puddles or wind or curves or the slant of the road, I have to make ever so slight adjustments to the wheel. I'm probably off course more than 90% of the time and just happy to be going in the generally right direction. A committed faith is our life's flight plan. And we mentor others as we model what we know to be true. It's maybe not popular, but life isn't about popularity. It's about eternity. We all need to make corrections in our lives to stay on course. We need each other to assist us in love. Paul may have had apprehensions about correcting Peter, but in love he did what was necessary. And how many times have we encountered similar scenarios? How often do we know we should say something or answer someone's hard questions, but we don't? We worry about losing a friendship, alienated a family member, causing a strain in a relationship. We don't want to make waves. We don't want to rock the boat. We just plainly don't want to irritate someone. We want to be liked. My dear friends, souls are worth too much to worry about what other people might think of us, like Peter was worrying. When we in love are concerned for them, it's time to confirm who we are in Christ. Living a life of commitment as a model of one forgiven by the mercy of Christ, we need to be whom God made us to be. People need us to be whom God made us to be. But then quickly you may think, I can't do that. People think I'm setting myself up as better than they are. Then they'll accuse me of believing we're the only ones going to be saved. Paul dealt with that issue right away, didn't he? He wrote, "We know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus." So again, we find we are. We are dependents of Jesus Christ. We depend on Him for life and salvation. It's not about us. We depend on Him for forgiveness in eternity. We are not independent. If God filled out an IRS 1040 form, He would list us as His dependents. And guess what? There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. That is who we are, whom God made us to be. Doubt has no place in our lives. When we are confident in the love and mercy of God, we don't have to worry if we've done well enough for Jesus or if we've done all the things perfectly, because that's what Jesus did for us. We can not only say that we'll be saved, but that we are saved. Not because of who we are or by what we've done or by what anybody else might think, but on the goodness of Jesus Christ. So let me ask again, who are you? Let's review that. You are a redeemed child of God, saved for eternity by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. You are convinced of your salvation through faith in Jesus, not by works. Convinced of your salvation in Jesus, you strive to live a life consistent with your faith. And your consistency to your conviction serves as a model to your family, your friends, associates, co-workers, and acquaintances. You are a mentor to those who find themselves ever so slightly off course sometimes, and you direct them back. You are all this not because you're so special or great, but because your God is great and special and wonderful. You are a dependent, delivered, redeemed, and loved child of God. To His glory, for the sake of souls, live up and be what God has made you to be. You're His, now and for eternity. And make sure that when others see it, they see God in you and bring them back to course. May God grant you the strength and power to be such. Be what God has made you to be. Amen. And now may the peace of God that goes beyond all understanding keep your hearts and minds in true faith till we stand with Jesus and all the souls He has saved in glory everlasting. Amen.